plenty to talk about. Got Ben and Simpiwe here. It's going to be loads of fun. We've got guests popping in a little bit later on and plenty of Friday excitement. Plus, of course, Monday is a public holiday. So,
it is?
Yes, Monday is, I think, what we call Youth Day. And therefore, it is, for most people, just an opportunity to take the day off. But there's a history to that, too. I'm not going to go into it this morning because I've been told I'm giving too many history lectures lately. So, fine.
By whom? Who told you that?
By people in this audience, among others. Not that I ever pay attention to them, but I thought, you know what? Maybe I've been overdoing that a little bit lately.
Okay.
Yeah, I went off on some tangent the other day. I had Kate Turkington here, and she was terrific, as always. And by the way, so terrific and so much feedback that we're really seriously considering giving her a show because people just loved her on Wednesday and when she was on with Warris and PH on the Shady podcast just a couple of weeks ago. So you know what? Why not? We could have a 90-year-old podcast, and not 90 because it's, you know, podcasting hasn't been around for 90 years, but because our host is 90. So why the hell not? I think we're seriously considering that. We'll keep you updated as to how it happens.
It'd be really great if she had to interview Gary Player. That would be a phenomenal interview.
Yeah, how old's Gary now?
He's the same kind of...
Really? Same vintage?
Same sort of handicap.
Okay. All right. Herman Peter Cook says, "Why don't you like me, Gareth?" This is the kind of neediness that we try to get rid of very early in the show. And I've tried over my career to get rid of altogether. But he goes, "I guess I was a fan back in the 90s. I've never been attacked by you before, Gareth. Why now?" Jesus. Yeah, I think this is someone, he says, you seem like someone I could be friends with. I'm not. I would be a terrible friend to someone like you.
No.
You are the kind of person I don't want in my life. Needy, emotional, kind of pathetic. It's not my vibe. You got to go and find some other show to listen to. On your way now. Thank you. Great.
Sorry, what have I missed?
I don't know. Did someone in the comments.
Did you just say good morning and the person felt attacked?
I don't know. Someone in the comments. Yeah, someone in the comments that needs to go and move on and find another show. I don't give a shit.
It needs to be a two-way streak.
That you're barking up the wrong tree here. And,
this is James' alias in the comments.
Is that you, James? Is it your alias?
Okay. James' burner account.
All right. Hey, Ben, how's the head healing coming along?
Yeah,
says
it's
Matt.
Going right, guys. Look, I'm going to wear hats for a bit because I'm getting more to that sort of tennis ball-y phase.
Okay.
But it's better. I mean, it's...
Less red.
It is less red. It's pretty well spotted. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately for next...
That's a very fine cap that you have there.
Thank you.
Oh. For next, do you have a lot of those?
It's quite hard with the size of my head, guys, to find a good hat.
That's true.
And this one being a navy blue... Bit of a win.
And you can wear it with a jacket and it looks like you're at Augusta or something.
Yeah. Also doing another episode of On the Bounce today, so I need to try get the hat ready. So,
very good. Yeah, I saw you had a Konan Ndungane on who was
guy.
Terrific. Yeah.
He's always such
very,
good
very
value.
Good.
Yeah. You know, because he's obviously one of the famous twins.
Sure.
So Odwa played for the Sharks, Akona played for the Bulls.
Right.
And they had concurrently great careers together. And now they both obviously care a lot more about golf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew golf would find its way into
but
the conversation.
That's the thing. Whenever my guests sit down, I know that I could do
it. Is that the criteria? You like golf?
No, I could do a golf episode pretty much with every one of my guests. Like before and after the show, we talk about golf. During the show, we talk about whatever the subject matter is. Uh-huh. And then it's like, right, we've got to go play.
Ben, you look like a skinny skulk burger with that head. Really? Okay. Well,
I haven't heard that before. Thank you.
Jason says, Gareth doesn't hate you because he doesn't know you. Yeah, this is a funny thing. So I did, and it went out yesterday, I did the podcast with Heinz Winkler, the first winner of Idols. He put out a show called, I think it's called the Boldcast or something.
Yes.
But, you know, he's become like a pastor, and he's a very interesting chap. And I've always had good interactions with him. Invited me on his show, and I must have had a moment of weakness, and I said yes because I don't like going on. I don't want to be on other people's shows because simply I do three shows a week here, and there's plenty of space for me to tell you what I think, for you to ask questions in the comments section, for us to explore all kinds of interesting topics. Mm-hmm. What the hell do you need me on someone else's podcast for too? I don't get it. I don't want to do interviews. Like, what was it? Ringo Starr. No more photographs, no more autographs, please. With peace and love, I have too much to do. I do not want to sign anything or do anything for you. Leave me alone. Peace and love, peace and love. That's kind of that. I understand him now. I always used to laugh at him. Think, what the hell's wrong with you, Ringo? I'm not on Ringo's level by any means. You could say I'm the Ringo Starr of the media business, which would not be a compliment. But I've had enough of other people's interviews. Anyway, I went on this show.
Okay. I hope you weren't that grumpy on the show.
No. If you ask me to pitch up and you want to talk and it's good stuff and you've got some interesting questions and you've got some things to say that mm-hmm. I didn't think would come up, great. And it went very, very well. We talked for, sure, it was more than 2 hours.
Ooh, nice.
And we covered religion and we covered politics and we covered morality and good and evil and all kinds of things that I mean, we don't discuss all the time on this show. But if you want to go and check it out, I think it could be quite interesting.
Okay.
Well, from what I watched, I didn't watch all of it, but I got going on it last night.
Oh.
And it is. Ben. And the thing is, Gareth, what you'll always forget is that people want to talk to you. So, yes, you might not want to do interviews because...
I might not want to talk to them.
True. But people love talking to you. I've seen it for as long as I've known you. People love to talk to you.
Well, that's why we got the show, so that I can get it all done.
This isn't the same thing, though. This is you hosting the show. Being interviewed is a very different thing. People, you could say the exact same thing, but as the interviewer and the interviewee, it's a different thing altogether.
To which do you think I do better? Because then I'll just do that. I won't do both.
Look, I think this is, it's weird actually, because you come across different when you get interviewed because you're actually patient with people. When you're the host, you fuck all patience, which is great. I mean,
you agree with that, Simpiwe?
You're like grumpy, and you just like, oh, screw you, screw that, like everything's going to hell. And then like when other people talk to you.
No, it's great though.
Oh, so I'm nice to other people.
Yes, you are. You're very nice.
All right, very good. High time for a series of history, says M. Gareth, please don't ever go on Rian van Heerden's talk show. Seems like a high percentage are clocking out after they've been on. I've known Rian for years, and I love him. I think he's a terrific guy. He's got an unbelievable sense of humor. He and I have a history together because he gave me my first job in radio, on campus radio, all those years ago. And there's nothing anyone can say about Rian that I won't defend him on. He's just an incredibly clever, hugely funny, good guy. I like him a lot. And I would go on his show. He loves to take the piss. I mean, when I went on, he brought on a dwarf.
Your alley.
Well, everybody thinks so, but I find dwarves amusing for a bit, but I don't want to sit there for a whole show with a dwarf, you know? And this was a hunting dwarf. He had like a gun.
Hunting dwarf.
He was a hunting dwarf. He's wearing camo. I find that amusing. It's not what you expect on a show. So you're talking to Rian about your career and your life, and suddenly there's a hunting dwarf. I mean, it was very, very interesting.
That's why Pretoria is such a special place, actually. Yeah? Really doesn't get the credit it deserves.
No, Pretoria is good. And this is in Rian's restaurant, which is an actual working restaurant. They film the show there. They make very decent pizzas. And he's so eccentric, right, Rian van Heerden? He's so eccentric and weird. He doesn't think so. He thinks he's perfectly normal, like so many people in my family. They're not normal at all, but they think everyone else is weird and they're totally stable. So he went to a restaurant once and they made really good pizzas. And he's particular about things like that, or pastas or whatever it was that got his attention. Mm-hmm. And then he heard they were going to business rescue because they couldn't pay their people and they weren't making enough money. It's in this funny little shopping center. So he bought the shop.
Oh.
He's like, I don't want this business to go out of business because I like their pizzas or their pie. So he bought the thing and he thought, I'll run it. And he hates running a restaurant, but it's there and it's good and the food is good and seems to be busy with people all the time. So he's turned
that's
it around.
So cool.
Yeah.
I think everyone's got a romantic notion of having their own restaurants or something at some stage.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know how to cook. He's like me. He can't cook a thing. But he liked their food so much, he decided that restaurant needed to be saved. So he did it. It's very good.
That's so much better than opening up a chicken chain franchise.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I think you make more money opening up a chicken chain franchise. all right, so public holiday, any exciting plans for the weekend?
I had no idea there was a public holiday.
Really? So this is a bonus for you?
No, I hate public holidays.
Oh,
I don't need rest.
Listen, I'll tell you where I disagree. Middle of winter, Monday, it'll give you such a nice, easy start to the week next week.
It's disorientating, but okay, cool. I'll have it. I'm over that now. I'm into it now.
Okay, Sims, what are you doing?
Okay, workaholic. Like, yeah. I'm going to be relaxing. Like, I am.
Does this mean you lie there like in a... Like in a TV show, you got like stuff between your toes that you've just painted. You're going to have your feet up. You're going to be lying under the blankets, watching TV.
And I'm not going to have my little one as well. It's going to be
really?
Amazing.
Who have you palmed her off on?
To her Chloe. Grandparents. And they'll have her for the weekend. So I get to just do me, relax.
Very good.
Oh, very well organized there.
So excited about this long weekend.
Good.
Like I'm happy. I'm
Is this your first break from mumming?
Yes.
Since the you need this.
That's how you celebrate youth day, because you still have your youth.
Hey, look at her. She's excited.
That's so clever.
Good for you. Okay. A couple of comments. That was a brilliant show, G. It was an amazing conversation with Heinz. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that. Thank you. And I don't mind doing stuff like that, regardless of what Simpiwe and Ben think about me being grumpy.
It's how you come across.
You just said you don't want to fucking do that stuff. See, is it?
Oh, God. All right. No, I don't. No.
Keep receipts on this car, okay.
All right. I don't, but I enjoyed that one. All right.
Okay.
I didn't cool. know I would.
It can be enjoyable with
That's
the right
good.
People.
Sure. And I suppose maybe I need to get my
But don't you also find
attitude right.
You interview people all the time. You have to keep a balance. If people just said, oh, fuck, I don't want to do interviews, what would happen with you? You'd have no one on the couch.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like a bit of a...
It's a dance.
It is a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like, don't go into any sort of... Like, there's a lot of shit podcasts out there that are trying to get going. And they need guests. They need people like you, because that's how people watch their stuff.
Well, Migs says, I don't listen to other podcasts that Gareth appears in either. They're mostly not as entertaining as this show. Okay, well, thanks, Migs. Huge erection says, 3-day test match of the weekend of drinking and partying in London for the teams. Yeah. I saw Josh, who you interviewed on the bounce. He was at Lord's yesterday. Yeah, sent me a picture.
I've actually got quite a few friends. I mean, I'm not saying that as like a throwaway comment. I've quite a few friends who are at Lord's right now having the best fucking time.
I'm sure.
It's so great to see.
And you know, England with its like 4 weeks of summer. This is the only time it's pleasant to live on those
aisles. We'll get into the sport just now, but this test match is... It's so super enthralling. It is great.
Good.
And even this, if it's like 200 rand a beer in the stands.
200 rand a beer.
Yeah.
That's what it costs, thanks to our excellent exchange rate.
Guys are having it out there, though. They're going full out. Today's day three. The hangovers are going to be. Because you know, whenever you go on tour, first night of tour, everyone tries too hard.
Yeah.
Day one of the test match, there was 14 wickets. So it was a pretty big first day. And the sun was out.
Yeah.
Guys are going to be limping in there today, but you know what? Muscle memory is a beautiful thing. And inside somewhere, you're still 21.
Yeah. I trust that man as much as a Nigerian prince who emails me offering me easy gold, says Slippery Pickle. I'm not sure who we're talking about here. Errol Musk, Elon's dad. Oh. He's a bit of a lunatic, hey?
Yeah, he's out on the internet again.
Yeah, so he seems to be just a thoroughly bad person. He married his stepdaughter, sort of a Woody Allen type move.
He knocked up, then married his stepdaughter.
Yeah, which is just appalling. The whole family's distanced themselves from him a number of times.
Is it Gareth 100 years ago? That was pretty much the norm, wasn't it?
What, marrying your stepdaughter and knocking her up? I don't know that was the norm.
Hey, look, not my game.
Can you verify
in fact,
that no, history,
in fact,
please, Gareth?
The only thing
I do know is the only occasion upon which that has occurred and which I recall was Woody Allen and Soon Yi, his stepdaughter who he ended up marrying. And Woody Allen was reviled, rightly so, for... Because, you know, you're in a power relationship over this kid. And there's something extra creepy. It's like a creepy fucking fondue, but then you had an extra heaping of creepy on top.
I agree.
That a dad would get into carnal relations with his ward, his stepdaughter.
I think with Errol, because she was in some financial strife at the time. And I'm not saying he actively, like a predator, took advantage of that, but it kind of got the foot in the door, so to speak.
Oh, like so many women in South Africa, not just women, I suppose there are guys too, but, you know, who'll basically do whatever you want for some airtime.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a thing in South Africa, right? Mm. We've got these blessies who are desperate for just a couple of rand thrown their way, and they will be machoshas for that.
I wasn't defending Errol, but I mean, the more we talk, the more you realize
it's not defensible.
It's not like the the worst thing out there with how people and human action.
You know, it's sort of like it's like Oscar's dad, who was on that Piers Morgan show before I was
so
on.
So creepy.
Yeah, like these dads. I mean, Errol Musk should not say anything. He should be doing everything he can to mend the relationship that he has with his clearly superior offspring. And by that I mean he's got a son who's a genius, an ex-wife who seems to be very switched on. I mean, she's an incredible woman at her age. She's beautiful. Ooh. And she seems to also be very much a family-oriented woman. I think he's ruined that relationship. He's got a daughter called Tosca. He's got another son called, what's his name? There's Elon, and there's another kid that he had with May, and Kimball. Anyway, they seem to not want a relationship with him at all, which means he must be as awful as we all think he is. And again, you know, if he was sitting here in front of me, I'd say to him, like, what's your story, dude? Because
James.
Don't get him on.
James, no, get him in here.
What's your story? Because it seems to me like you had opportunities to make right decisions. Instead, you almost always chose wrong ones. I just want to know why that happens, because we all think, and clearly he had money, you know, there was a little bit of family money there, if not a lot.
He was a proper wheeler dealer. He had like precious stone mines.
Yeah.
He lost the plot.
He was selling, look, it's always so hard to say this. And I feel like as I get older, it's weird how this is the stance I take to that. It's like that dude lived in a crazy time. He was raising a family in a crazy time. Like you're going to be fucked up. You're going to be a bit weird. The Oak lived in a big cash business. Guys try to kill him.
Yeah.
There's so much going on in every person's life, and I think being a dad is fucking hard. I just think, Cliff, the two of us are quite fortunate that we got good humans who raised us. There's a lot of people out there who raise kids.
Sure.
It's not. I know you're the only one raising a kid in this whole show here. But I think a lot of that can just it can ruin your world. It can change everything the way you see something.
Yeah.
Still doesn't make it okay to knock up your stepdaughter.
Well, don't molest. Just don't molest anyone. That would be a good start.
Let's start.
But
there.
Especially not people who are in your care.
I would give Errol free rein, be him, but the stepdaughter thing was probably too far.
Yeah, okay. All right. And Errol Mayer says Errol's giving all Errols a bad name. Sugar Shabalala says, get him on, Gareth, get him on the show. Elon is first in charge. Kimball is second. Errol Musk on this show now, that'll be too much cuck.
Yeah, but also, like, you're born and your parents call you Errol.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, come that's on. Right. Like, he's old.
Can you imagine but looking that was at a kid? Very,
oh, okay. So we went through those names. Do you remember? Last time, what the coolest names were in each generation.
Not Errol.
Errol used to be a very cool name once.
It was a cool name once you turned 43 and you got into management.
Oh, how old is he now? It fits him perfectly.
Now he's earned his Errol, but you can't be a kid and be called Errol. Come on.
All right. Ben, if you were raised properly, you'd know how to pronounce us, not us, for fuck's sake, says Carl DeSantos.
Carl, who's you've got to get over that.
I mean, Carl, Carl's
every fucking week, Carl. Carl, you're a poorer. You're probably hairy and 3'7". Do I go on about that? We all have different shaped mouths and fuck.
Don't mess with Ben, okay?
This hook every fucking week. Is that all you got? Fuck, Carl, there is so much you can rip me off about every fucking week.
Let this be a lesson to people to have uglier children to protect them from predators.
Also not the worst thing.
Yeah, you know, I used to sometimes feel sorry for myself as a child because I thought, I'm not the best looking kid. But then molesters didn't come near me. So I may have won.
Very little interference in your upbringing.
No interference.
Exactly.
So maybe I won. You know, if I were really like the best looking.
You couldn't have walked home.
Maybe they would have buggered me senseless. You never
week.
Know.
Every
right?
week.
You never know.
You would have met guys like Errol far too early
yeah,
in your life.
Under the pier. come here,
yeah.
You know, some creepy pedophile. Well, I didn't have to deal with those because they looked at me and went, no.
Not you.
No. Reminds me of a story.
Every cloud.
There's a family story that I don't know if it's true or not, which is hilarious, of two of my relatives who were at a kid's birthday party. And an aunt called them over. Their gran had just died, unbeknown to them. Oh. She called all the kids over there, like 12 or 13 kids playing there. She says, right, everybody stand in a line. Take a step forward if you have a gran. And the two of them stood forward and she went, you two, not so fast.
That's cruel.
That's how it happened. It's a great story, though.
Oh,
and
that's
it's
fantastic.
True. Yeah.
That's cruel.
I hope it's true. You did well with the ladies over the years, GC, says Dirk Kutsia. Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, but you know, you can always improve. There's always room for improvement, even at my advanced age.
Bit of a consolation prize. The pedos left you, but the ladies liked you. What does that mean?
That's way better. I'd rather have it that way than the other way around. Can you imagine the other way around? That's a disaster.
Imagine being upset about that one, though.
It's always
these chicks
improve.
Everywhere. None of these.
Errol Musk is 73, says Melissa.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, that would make sense.
He must stop talking.
He must stop talking. You know, the same with Oscar's dad. And
he was never supposed to talk in the first place.
No, I mean, shame. You know, probably you'd walk past him at some coffee shop and you'd say, hello, or whatever, and you wouldn't think anything of it. But he was even saying in that interview with Piers, he was like, well, you know, Oscar's going to be very cross with me. I was like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have done this
yes.
interview.
Why are you there? You're not getting paid big money.
No, and for better or worse, not everyone. I know that the internet has given everyone this idea that people are hanging in your every word. Most people have nothing to say. We talked about this the other day. It's enough podcasts. I don't want anyone else to launch a podcast, all right? It's enough. We don't need any more. We've now... I've been supporting podcasts for 12 years. In fact, I was listening to them 15 years ago. And I'm delighted with this explosion of podcasts. Everybody's got a show now. You meet someone, you thought they were a sportsman or a politician or an actor, and suddenly they're telling you about their podcast and you've got to listen and subscribe and like and all this shit. Enough. We've had the window period now where everyone got to dip their foot in the podcast pool. There's a lot of shit out there. It's time for some people to get out. Just saying, Meghan Markle, you know, we don't need a podcast from you. You've already won the lottery of life. Michelle Obama, you've been a first lady. You were married to a president. You lived in the White House. Everyone in the world knows your name. You don't need a podcast with your boring brother. The two of you sit and yammer on about all the things that you are complaining about in your life, trying to be normal people. Simpiwe, I know this is a real bugbear. Oh. Simpiwe hates it when famous and rich and successful people try to like dumb themselves down to be relatable to the rest of us.
Try and resonate.
Right?
Miss me with that. Yeah. Miss me with that.
Just make your podcast
resonating with Big Mike and Ike.
I don't want to even, you know, if they talked about the fact, like if they addressed that in episode one, I mean, if Michelle Obama went on to, you know, I'm tired of people thinking I'm a man.
Just drop trial.
And here it is. Let me show you what I
go
got.
Go off, queen.
People would, then I'd say, you know, that is. Some...
And then you know who she should have afterwards?
Who?
Brigitte Macron.
See, and now I'm in. That's the thing.
That would, the first men podcast.
Thank
Not
you.
Not the first ladies podcast.
Podcasts
first...
need better producers.
Right.
Good start.
Right.
That's but it.
There's no one out there.
That is some clever thinking. Sapira.
I know, right? That's what we want. I don't want to hear what happens in the White House.
Sapira, you need to be a consultant and go, right, I've had a look at your podcast. Last 40 episodes have been fucking boring. This is how we're going to turn it around.
Hey, so a lot of people in the comments are talking about something that was in the news or is breaking news as we speak, and that is that Israel has, in another lightning strike of theirs, taken out a couple of places in Tehran that were either potential nuclear installations or military targets of some kind or another. They've also taken out a couple of head honchos in the Iranian special forces and intelligence and security apparatus, so there'll be some news about that today. But, you know, again, this is the way of the world. Anyone who thinks that the world is this peaceful place where everybody just gets along and we pretend everything's okay. A friend of mine's flying into LA today, and Los Angeles is a shit show right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen what's going on? Have you been watching the news? LA is just a disaster. So ICE agents, these are the people who go and arrest illegal immigrants, illegal criminals often. They are deporting people en masse, as per Donald Trump's very clear mandate from the American people that they're sick of illegal immigration.
That's what they voted for, right?
Yes.
He's shut down the borders. He's like, we're not doing this anymore. We're not just letting everyone in, like Joe Biden, who was asleep at the wheel. And people in LA and people who across the country in America support open borders and completely illegal immigration are losing their shit about this. They're like, oh, but you can't kick people out. They have a right to be here. And
no, they don't.
They don't. And I'm sure that the people of California are tired of paying for illegal immigrants to get free health care, free education. Everything is in Spanish, even though it's not a Spanish country.
Mm-hmm.
It may be one of their languages, but it's not a Spanish country. You know, LA is one of those, what they call sanctuary states, where basically you can go there, you can break all the laws, they won't kick you out because it's been run by left wingers and, you know, Kendall Gavin Newsom and Maxine Waters and all of these really terrible politicians who just, they'll do anything to pander for the illegal immigrant vote or for the illegal immigrant support. Now there are riots in LA because, of course, anytime anyone tries to enforce the law in Los Angeles, there are a bunch of people who want to steal a TV. This is the weirdest thing. It's like, well, I'm having a bad day and I see there's riots on, I'm going to get me a TV. Like, that's going to help? How?
I just want to know who keeps dropping the bricks. There's like a brick company that's employed in this whole thing.
So people have been throwing bricks from overpasses onto highways.
America has bricks?
There's always bricks.
They've got bricks.
And there's always bricks.
And
these
a lot
things.
Of houses in America are not built with bricks, you know, the so three little pigs. Some are built with straw and some are built with wood.
But is there like an app where you can just find out where the bricks are and then you can just create shit?
Well, this is an interesting idea because, again, if you speak to people who are slightly conspiratorial or fully conspiratorial, they'll tell you, and it's not even controversial in some circles to say that these are organized, they're paid for protests. There are people who are deliberately agitating to create chaos. And LA at the moment, there are fires, there are people throwing bricks at cops, there are people attacking cop cars, there are people destroying private property. It's a disaster. So Trump sends in the National Guard, and now the governor of California is trying to cast himself as some kind of hero. He's like, come and arrest me. It's like, dude, it is really not about you. In this moment, you have shown a total dereliction of duty. You're clearly not capable of running the state. Things have been a shit show there for a long time now. It's time that your house was cleaned because you can't clean it by someone else. And if the president of the United States, who has the power to make decisions around whether or not things are so bad that he needs to send in the National Guard, has decided California needs some help. And now people are just behaving very, very badly. You've got wailing, gnashing of teeth, plenty of screaming and shouting.
So this is because people are being taken and deported, right?
Illegal immigrants, yeah. People who have no right to be there. They've never filled in any paperwork. They've never pitched for their court date. They crossed the border. They crossed the Rio Grande and they crossed the desert. And they're not meant to be there. They have no right to be in the United States of America. But the weird thing is that people in America are trying to cast themselves as compassionate, good people because they do not want to implement the law.
Mm.
And the law is written down for everyone to see. You have to be a legal immigrant. If you just walked into America, if you got off a plane and you walked in, you didn't have a visa, they would turn you right away. You can't get off a plane from Johannesburg and just walk around in New York. Someone's going to stop you.
Yep. And there's reasons for that.
Correct. So I don't get it.
For a while.
And America has been taking in under Biden and other presidents for probably the last 40 years. In fact, dates back to Reagan. Just thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of illegal immigrants. And now people had enough. And the other funny thing is that now there's this argument about how, well, California actually used to belong to Mexico. And so it should just be considered part of Mexico. As if that's an argument. Like a country is just going to give up a large part of it. California is a prosperous place. It's probably a little less so proportionately. But you think America's just going to, after 150 odd years, just dump California back in Mexico's backyard?
No. Yeah,
it's a weird thing, this. But this is what goes back to telling history stories, Gareth. And that's why we need more of them. If you don't know enough by history, you're going to know nothing about your present.
Well, it's so funny that the people who are arguing now that Mexico used to own California, so we should just make it part of Mexico.
That's just pure commies.
No, they are. And it's so stupid that just 5 minutes ago they were arguing that it belongs to Native Americans.
Yeah.
But now those Native Americans don't matter anymore because now it's Mexico.
Yeah.
Which was a colonial imperialist power under Spain, obviously. Spain was this imperial power. And America won a war. And that what happens when you win a war is you get the spoils.
Yeah. That's kind of exactly where I was going with
this. And Mexico wasn't doing anything with California before America took it over. It was just sitting there. It was just uninteresting. There were no things happening. There was no development taking place. It was just sitting there. Fuck all happened while Mexico was in charge of California, right? America won it in a war, and then they turned it into something which became an engine for the American economy. We've got so much to be thankful to California for in terms of Silicon Valley, Hollywood, and so much else. So, yes, you can argue through a very myopic lens about certain parts of history, but if you don't take the context into consideration, your argument just sounds silly. You sound stupid and you shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah,
like, but this belonged to the Cherokee tribe. Now suddenly the Cherokee tribe don't suit your argument, so you change it to the Mexicans. Next thing you'll be saying that
dinosaurs. It's always for the dinosaurs.
I mean, yeah, it's the give dinosaurs. The they back. Own. Give back the land to the dinosaurs.
But question on this, right? So let's say they were correct. It did once upon a time belong to the Mexicans.
Mm-hmm,
right?
It did.
And the Mexicans are like, yes, we want the land back. How do they then go about giving the land back to them? Because considering how now, like, it's so, like, I think California and I think Americans and the Americans that were born there, like, how are they going to be like, oh, no. Like, how does that even work?
It doesn't and it won't. It won't happen. I mean, the president of Mexico went on a rant yesterday about how, well, most of the people in Mexico, in California, they speak Mexican or they speak Spanish. And he's like, then that's a good enough reason. Yeah, we'll take California. Be careful. You remember who you're dealing with here. He's like, Donald Trump, he'll press the button, man. He'll actually send people into your country with guns. He's that kind of guy. And another thing that's come out of this that's pretty fascinating is this argument from people about how, no, but we need their cheap labor. You sometimes hear that from people in this country, right? Mm. They say, oh, but how will the hotels and the farms survive without these cheap slave laborers? That's what they effectively...
That's their go-to lie.
They're actually arguing for slave labor. These are the people who tell you, oh, but you know, without those Mexicans picking those tomatoes, my farm won't survive. Then your farm shouldn't survive.
At all.
And you should be embarrassed that you're hiring people at below minimum wage, whatever that is. I don't know whether a minimum wage is ever a good idea, but you're paying them a pittance, basically, if anything. Maybe you're just paying them on the dupe system or worse. But you're paying people to do a job because you're too cheap to pay Americans to do that job, And you know that those illegals will take whatever they can get because they'll just be deported if they get caught. So you're a bad person. You're not going to argue yourself into being a good person by telling me, but the cheap labor is so important. No, you should be paying people properly, and you should be ashamed of yourself for hiring illegal immigrants and then try to pass yourself off as a good contributor to the economy because you're paying them slave wages. Disgraceful. So anyway, that's America. That, I think we've covered that for this morning.
Happened? Yeah, yeah. The people should actually appreciate what war is. War is a very difficult thing.
Yes.
It's been waged since the beginning of time, since after dinosaurs died, the rightful owners of the land. And a lot goes into war. You need to build up strong resources. You need to have a plan. You need to have sacrifice. You need to have all-in commitment.
And if you lose, the upside of that, no one cares.
And the upside of that is that you can have territories.
If you lose, history will just write you into the loser column and you'll be forgotten.
Exactly. There's a reason why countries are countries and land is land a lot of the time. It's not because it's like such a trendy thing. It's like shit happened. And happened Delinda, for a long time.
So Cato the Elder, here we go on one of my history rants. Cato the Elder was in Senate in Rome and said famously, Delenda et Carthago. So Carthage is finished. The Romans, after they defeated the Carthaginians in the Punic Wars, salted the earth and poisoned the wells. And to this day, it is impossible to grow any crops in what is modern-day Tunisia, where Carthage used to be. And the Romans utterly destroyed that civilization. For a while, Carthage was probably the preeminent power in the ancient world. And during, you know, they had Hannibal crossed the Alps on elephants and very nearly conquered Rome. So Carthage was a powerhouse. And when Rome defeated them, they utterly defeated them. They wiped the memory of Carthage from the face of the earth. All the women were enslaved. All the children were enslaved. All the men were killed. The earth was salted and the wells were poisoned. Mm. And there was just, that's it. Your civilization's done. You were defeated comprehensively.
Sounds about right.
I think that's what people are used to. And we tend to think that we're better because we live in 2025.
No. Even in the Bible times, they did the exact same thing.
Read the Bible.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Jericho, right? Walls of Jericho.
Wiped out. Because why? People were sinning and they're like, we don't have time for that.
Exactly.
Remember what they did to that bitch that when he was married to Lot? They turned that bitch to salt, didn't they?
Oh, yes. And she,
they salted her, yeah.
Yeah. But like I saw a video, I don't know if it's true, I must still verify it, where I think they've found the place where Lot's wife was.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, and like the exact spot where she got salted.
It's near the Dead Sea. In fact, there's a, I suppose you could call it an outcrop of salt. I mean, we know that the Dead Sea is full of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that could be, I mean, it's highly unlikely that inside of it is some poor woman who's been made into a pillar of salt, but it looks like.
Yes.
It's shaped like a human. And, you know, there are Bible archaeologists who will tell you, no, well, there's definitely proof that Lot's wife is inside that there pillar of salt.
She's the saltiest woman ever.
Salty old trout.
Such a salty old bitch.
So,
but you know what her problem was? She looked back.
That's the issue. Stop looking back. Keep running.
Yeah, I mean, no rear view mirror time. They were told not to look back because God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
And he did.
And she thought, but what about Denise or whoever her friend was?
She was longing for the good times.
The bad things that were going on there.
Exactly, look back.
Yeah. All right. Tracy says, a friend of mine and her partner took forever to get married. Once at someone else's wedding, an old lady asked them, when are you two getting married? My friend, Sharp, replied, when's your funeral? The world knows two South African dads, Errol and Oscar's dad. That's what the world thinks we produce as dads. Aish.
But that was a dad for a generation, though.
Yeah, but we don't have a great record. Like,
that's not good representation.
I know.
No.
And I know, there are good dads in this country, but can you guys step up and stand in the limelight rather than the bad dads?
Nobody wants to know a good dad. Everyone wants to know an Errol.
Gareth says, don't start a podcast. There are too many. Also, Gareth says, start a podcast for a 90-year-old granny. Listen, you guys were saying how much you loved having Kate on. So if you're telling me you're changing your mind, figure out your argument. Stand on one side or the other. I don't know why I'm arguing with myself here. Do you have any idea what a conquered land looks like? Yes, like it was conquered. such an embarrassment when you get conquered by another country or another class of persons. It's just plain Jared. Is Gomorrah the original Salt Bay?
Maybe, hey?
Lot's wife. We never knew her name. Did we know her name?
No, Lot's wife. That's her name.
Lot's wife.
Lot's wife. That's all we needed to know about that woman, that she looked back when God said, don't do that thing as I destroy this horrible city. Sodom.
There was a great song. I will give credit to the guy just now, but he sang, there was a man named Lot whose wife was really hot, but she cursed and drank and broke her neighbor's fence. You know it was her own damn fault when God turned that bitch to salt. That's the way he worked back in those Bible days. He fucked her up. Yes, God will fuck her up. Just singing a song has reminded me. I find myself profoundly saddened by the death of people sometimes that I don't know at all. Okay. Yesterday, a truly brilliant man died, and I doubt very much whether most people under the age of 40 will give any damn at all, but I do. His name is Brian Wilson. He was the founder of and the main composer in and the lead singer of the Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. Now, the Beach Boys, I suppose for many people today, are like a bit of a gimmicky thing. Mm. You know, Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you. It's sort of the stuff that you hear at weddings, and it's a bit twee, maybe. But I have to tell you, if you listen to the composition of some of those songs and the way that Brian Wilson, who really was a musical genius, I mean, he wrote a love song for a woman he was desperately head over heels in love with and who he was too shy to address publicly. He was clearly a little bit on the spectrum.
It wasn't because it was more like her husband probably would have killed him.
Yes, he was a murderous fiend.
Maybe not so much in the shy.
He was a murderous fiend. But Brian Wilson was obviously one of those people. Look, he took a lot of drugs, which didn't help. So it was hard to make It was hard to make sense of the guy. But, you know, I heard tributes yesterday from Sting, Elton John, really, really talented, brilliant people saying they looked up to this guy. He's one of their heroes.
Absolutely.
And as someone who's a fan of music and who's read the stories, listened to the songs over and over again, cares about the ability some people have to just write a magnificent piece of music, and this guy wrote many, I found myself like a little bit sad. I listened to Beach Boys music all day yesterday, and while I was in the gym, while I was driving, doing all kinds of things with Beach Boys songs playing, and you know, they wrote beautiful pop songs, just like real Boy Meets Girl, aww, I've Got a Fast Car, those kinds of songs.
It reflects a very different time.
Yeah, and it was surfing. Genuine. It was all surfing, cars, girls with long hair, California girls, surfer
kicking
girls.
Kicking Mexicans out of California.
yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, the Beach Boys, you could argue, were so old that they were actually under the administration of the dinosaurs. But they wrote like a song like, I Want to, what was it? Wouldn't It Be Nice?
Yeah, great song.
What a happy, lovely song. There's no darkness there. They're not talking about, you know, sleeping with their stepdaughters or anything. They're not taking drugs in their lyrics. They're not doing outrageous things. They're singing about love and about boy meets girl and just happy things. And it's like, that's what pop music should be. Mm. In fact, somebody once said, there was an article in when music magazines used to be a thing, like Empire Magazine and, you know, these are people who were music aficionados who researched and studied the music. And people like Randall Abrams would write these articles. And it was voted, that song, Wouldn't It Be Nice, was voted the greatest pop song of all time.
Ooh.
Because it's exactly 2 minutes long.
Oh, perfect.
So you don't have time to get sick of it. It's got the most beautiful flow. It's just upbeat. It's optimistic, it's positive, it's happy. It's all the things you need in a pop song.
Oh, love that.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older? You know, it's cute.
Yeah, I mean, the music, the composition, everything, it just feels good. And that's what music should be. It gives you a feeling, right?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, listen to the song today. There'll be a feeling that will come out of those.
That's good.
Right. Okay, so rest in peace, Brian Wilson.
Well, I think when these people die, it's always a confirmation of that. That stuff's in the past now. That music will never be created
again. What do you
mean?
You don't think Wet Ass Pussy is on the same level?
Don't bring up Cardi B. Please, let's not do that on this show. Not
the same feeling.
Coronavirus? do you remember her? Coronavirus?
Hey, let's not attack Cardi B because she just dropped a really hot verse. Because you know she's getting divorced.
Tell me.
Wait. So Cardi B was married for 7 years, right? And in that 7 years,
In Hollywood years, that's like 50.
Long time. Yeah.
I know, right? But she was married to this rapper, Offset, and he was cheating on her throughout the marriage.
Right.
They get a divorce. And now, you know, girl, she's out in the streets, she's dating, and everyone on the internet's like, oh, she's a hoe.
Oh, wow.
Guess what? She dropped a song. Oh, she's going to drop a song. She just dropped this hot verse for the summer. Or in America, it's the summer. And I'm loving it. Because she's basically just saying, you know what? I'm single. I'm looking hot and snatch. And I'm going to do what this man did to me. And let's see if you can handle that. And I have to say, you know what? Let's go, Cardi.
Cool, but that's a shit situation, and now you're broadcasting it. I feel bad for her. But this is where music is, right?
Yeah.
People living these shitty lives where they're being cheated on, and now they have to go cheat. Now there's like repercussions. It's just tiring.
Yeah, but the music is hot. You know, best music comes from
I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that. But what a reflection.
Like wet-ass pussy.
But what a reflection on the lives that we live.
No, it is. I mean, people's lives are, by and large, shit. No, they're not singing about driving a really cool, fast car or falling in love with a girl.
Okay, well, I'll have to say there's this one guy, I forgot his name, but he has the most beautiful song on the internet right now about his wife, right? And what makes his story even more amazing is that he wrote this song about his wife. The song went viral. And then he like told the backstory of like him and singing. And just like a year or two before writing the song, he was homeless. Right?
Oh.
Yeah, he was homeless. He was sleeping on people's couches. And then, like, one of his friend's dad shot him by mistake. And then he ended up in hospital.
Jesus.
And when he was in hospital, the dad was like, I feel so bad. So here's this car. Like, please take the car. And so he was staying in the car. But he was chatting to his then girlfriend, who came, his wife, she was in another state. And she was like, well, I like you. So I'm going to move to where you at. And we can, like, just live in this car together, right? And both be homeless. So that now they're both homeless.
I don't like this story at all. This woman has very bad judgment and he sounds like a total loser.
No, it's so wholesome. Listen, so she comes through and now they're both homeless, living in this car. She starts making videos on YouTube, like day in the life, you know, living in the car.
I knew it. She needed him for content.
Yeah.
She starts blowing up on the YouTube and then they get their first check, you know, and then like the first check is a couple of $100. A few months later, it's $1,000. They get an apartment. 2 years later, they get married and he writes this beautiful song about his wife. And now he's like super famous, making millions. Isn't that beautiful?
Okay. Yeah. I suppose. Yeah. I like a turnaround story as much as the next guy. So yes. Okay. But ladies, do not move across states to live with a guy who's living in his car. It's not going to work out for everybody the same way, right?
That woman sounds like she's a businesswoman.
Maybe she's like the Kardashian mom who's just like
genius.
Good at managing other.
She's a genius because she found the niche and she's like, I'm plugging this.
Right.
2-3 years, great investment. What do you want to do? Rather go study medicine or law? Fuck. Of course not.
That Nigerian lady's vagina song is the greatest composition I've ever heard, says Pete. Vaja, vaja, vagina. I've forgotten about that song. I must listen to it again. I think I will. Now that I've spent a day with Brian Wilson's music, I think it's time to go back to Vaja, 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 vagina.
It was a happy song, wasn't it?
It was a happy song. Yeah, very much.
I think it was also 2 minutes long.
I knew you'd lose Gareth as she came to live with him in the car. Yeah. I don't know if I've made this clear to anyone before, but I don't really like people who live in cars. It's never been my thing, hey? If you've got all your shit in the back of your car, like all your clothes, all your shit. There's people gather shit. For some reason, they feel they have to take it everywhere with them.
Well, it's their home. Of course they're going to take it everywhere with them.
And no, but I'm not talking about your essentials, you know? No. Those kind of people don't have a toothbrush. You know what I mean? They don't. They do not brush their teeth or have clean underwear. They got their dirty, shitty stuff that they just lug it with them wherever they go in a big mpahla. It's just like it's just unnecessary. Just don't mix with people who live in their cars. All right, if your house is on wheels, it's not going to work out well. Not all of the stories end up like this guy that Simpiwe's extolled the virtues of. So he made millions. Do they still live in the car, says Jason?
Of course not. Like now they live in a home and she still makes content of can we get some visuals? How her life has elevated.
Can we get some visuals here? I mean, are we talking about
Do you
stories?
Have any pictures of this person? Do you know who it is?
It's Alex something. And his song is like Ordinary.
Okay.
No, 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 no. Okay, that's all I know.
All right.
It's Alex something.
Hey,
show used to be informative, hey? Now we're going to... Fucking half-hearted lyrics, no visuals.
Sugar Shabalala says the Why Are You Gay guy is in South Africa.
Oh, yes.
He's come to have an interview with Lasizwe.
Yes.
I hope his first question to Lasizwe is...
Why are you gay?
You are gay. Why are you gay? Right? Look at Gareth who has a house. Oh, where do you live? What do you live in? What? Why is this now suddenly it's... I'm the one who's bad because I live in a house.
Yes, you're a housist.
I'm a housist. Homeless, homeless, homeless. Moonlight sleeping on a midnight train. Remember?
Yes.
Did you know the Knight Rider theme was stolen from Marche et Cortège de Bacchus, Act 3, Number 14, from Sylvia, written by Delibes? No, I did not. Okay. But that's great. Now I'll listen to that and then we can figure out whether that's true or not. Alex Warren says,
yes,
Roxanne.
That's him. That's him. That's him.
Alex Warren. See, just send us see if you can find a picture of first of all them living in their car, because there'll be something about that, and then a picture of what the wife looks like, a picture of what he looks like. We need to see this.
Oh. Mazo, you see?
See, that's staged. Sorry,
Yeah, that's good. Like, who's taking the picture?
Come on.
It's too sentimental.
Guys,
that was completely staged.
It's called content, okay?
Yeah,
and
so
this
it is.
Was, and credit
bullshit.
To them. I'm
this
not,
is the reality
that.
For like, what, a year or two? I love it.
I think that's a wonderful business they put together. Very ballsy.
No.
Really, literally hats off to them. It's so clever.
Somebody says Roman Kabanak got a birthday shout out from the Why You Gay guy. Yeah, in fact, our other friend Jonathan paid for it, I think. We're all going to see each other for a lunch next week, and I'm excited to celebrate with Roman because he no longer works for John Steenhuisen or for the government. He managed to get himself extricated from that relationship, but I think he's taking them to the CCMA.
He's going to clean them out.
Good.
Just told him a foot sec on his birthday.
On his birthday, which is just spiteful. And
he's going to clean them out.
Yeah, I hope so. I have no sympathy for the government here. I have no sympathy for John Steenhuisen. I have no sympathy for the Department of Agriculture. All of you. I hope Roman's buying us lunch on Friday with all the money he's going to get
thinking.
Out of government.
That's good. What I was thinking.
You know, because they make these rules, and then what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So if you... don't fire people right, or you don't go through the right processes,
yes.
Or you decide in the court of public opinion that someone needs to be gotten rid of, but you're too weak-willed to actually explain that to the very same public who've been baying for blood, then you go down with them.
Yeah, fair.
Witch hunts result in witches being burned. And if you're going to burn a witch, you better be sure she's a witch. That's all I'm going to say. I like the Oliver Anthony story more. Wife wanted to divorce and take everything. He won the case, wrote a song, and now he's taking in cash. I don't know. All right, so you know what? I'm going to look into Simpiwe's story. I'm not going to dismiss it like all of you cynical bastards. Maybe I love the story too.
It's a beautiful story.
If it results in a good song.
Yes, and their life has changed. Look at that now. Look at them.
There's no way she looks way too
bullshit.
Good for him.
Guys, come on. Like I said, this is a great idea. It's not a story.
That
it's a
chick
great
is
business.
Calculating. She's figured this out, right?
You realize why people become homeless. Let's go into that a bit. Not when you look like that. Sorry, first world, whatever. You call me a cynic. This was a well-orchestrated plan. It's worked brilliantly.
Yeah, I mean, most people.
I applaud it, but don't tell me this is a heartstring pull.
Most people who are homeless are not homeless because they don't have shelter. They're homeless because they're drug addicts and they're mentally compromised in some way. And, you know, you can find, in America certainly, you can find cheap accommodation. You can. Mm. And there are shelters for homeless people. Mm. They put you in state housing.
It's a lot of state support in the first world.
Yeah, and they have rent control in places like New York. There are ways for people to find a place to dwell so you don't have
there
to be living. Yeah. You don't have to be living in the elements. So a lot of people in America, it's not about the inability to pay rent or find a roof over your head. It's actually because you want to be on the street because you don't want the responsibility. When you put these homeless people, like in San Francisco, they've been doing this long experiment for the past 20 years. When you take some of the people off the street, you give them a house, they will very often completely destroy that house. They will tear it up from within. They will make fires in rooms. They will burn mattresses. They will break windows. They will break the plumbing out of the walls. These are monsters, all right? They're not people who should live in houses because they're mostly on crack.
Yeah. Okay?
They're living
Which is whack.
On the street because the street is where they want to be. And if you put them in a house, their life does not get better. They continue to be crazy and continue to be dangerous to themselves and others. And now they also have the opportunity to destroy property. So we have to address the disease, not the symptoms.
Yeah, I think because it's Friday, we should address the success, not the story. This guy probably had a great song. And they were like, but there's no edge to you. You know, I can't sell
Let's
you.
Let's back engineer a story.
There's so many songs out there, but there's no, like, how about if you were homeless...
You wanted them to look like this.
Yes. Yes, that's better.
Oh, my God.
So I reckon, like, we're at a point now where entertainment's too saturated. Gareth's talking about too many podcasts. It's the same with music. It's the same with all these
things.
No.
I'm with the story. I'll buy it because Simpiwe has bought it, and she's not stupid. But I want to know why he was homeless. They won't tell you that. They'll just say he was homeless.
To sell a song.
I want to know. Yeah, but this is it. If you're right, Ben, they'll have to reveal what he did to become homeless.
No, that's not. They don't have to. They don't have to go that deep in the backstory.
I want
to
know.
I know you do, but in order for this song to be sold, they don't have to go that far back. It's like he was homeless. That's where it starts. There is no backstory.
It's like Meghan Markle.
It's fake. It doesn't have to go further back.
Yeah, Meghan Markle tries to just pretend that she had no childhood. You know, like that mom of hers just is some saint. The dad was an evil bastard. And then suddenly, boom, she's a suit star. And then suddenly, boom, she's a princess.
Well, yeah,
now she's saving the world. She doesn't want you to dig too deep because you might find out that her dad, who's like Oscar's dad and like Errol, he's a disaster,
but
right?
But he's not
as bad as everyone thinks he is because he actually raised her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you make the story, you own the story. So their story is homeless. Okay. Cindy, whatever her name is. Insert car. You're also homeless now.
Right.
Cool. We're doing this about 3 years, guys. We've got the tour dates around. This is the song. We like it.
We are
tweaking a few things, but we need you to be homeless for 2 years to really push this thing.
Yeah.
The song comes out. If you listen to that song without the backstory, you would have been like, eh. Now it's like, oh, it's the homeless guy who's now married his sweetheart. Oh, what a song. This is so beautiful. It really touches me.
Well, the way you're selling it is nowhere near as compelling as the way Simpiwe sold it to us.
Of course not, because I'm selling truth. She's selling the romance.
I could also be selling truth. You know, there are people out there where God is in their favor and something happens in their life where they win the lotto.
Look
and they're
them.
Like, you know, they went from zero to like now winning 57 million. You know what I mean? Like, it's possible that he truly was homeless. You're right, Gareth. I think we should find out why he was.
Why.
You know, because that's also going to be part of the reason why he is successful or not successful in the long term.
You know,
because this is only one song.
Goon says, quite rightly, 50 Cent had to get shot 9 times to write a song and make a success of himself and his big break. Homelessness is like camping. says Goon.
Guys, it's I love that. It's all about selling a product, right? Yeah. This guy wasn't a product, and NSC was homeless. His song would have been another song.
We have to get to sport just now because we...
Oh, what a
week. We've got to talk cricket. We've got plenty of stuff to discuss, so we've got to get to that in just a moment. It's 7 o'clock. We need to take a quick break. We'll be back in a mo. Don't go anywhere.
Don't become homeless.